Hello, and welcome to episode 21 of XR Connections. This episode features Edwin Rivera of CG1 Solutions in Miami. Edwin is a pioneer and leader in augmented reality, and in this episode we discuss how he got into AR, his experiences with AR gaming and marketing, but most importantly, his newest endeavor, Reality Hub, which aims to bring platform-agnostic XR training solutions for healthcare. As mentioned at the end of the podcast, Edwin was just named an advisor to the Miami chapter of the VRARA. Not mentioned is that Edwin formerly served with the United States Marine Corps and Charlie Golf 1, the CG1 of his company's name, is a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. I'll share with you here as an intro an explanation of the company name, taken from their website, which I believe gives some insight into Edwin's character and outlook. Quoting here, Charlie Golf 1 is taken from the Navy phonetical alphabet code for standing by and ready to assist. In the days before radio, seafarers used a system of communication based upon flags and pennants. Vessels spoke by signal flag. Eventually, an international signal code evolved and was recognized by the navies and merchant fleets of all nations. Vessels that needed assistance would fly the Charlie Golf flags, which signifies stand by to assist me, and the responding vessels would fly the three pennants Charlie Golf 1, which says, I will stand by to assist you. Keeping in line with long maritime tradition, we stand by ready to assist you. Without further delay, here's our interview with Edwin Rivera. Hello and welcome to XR Connections. Today we are speaking with Edwin Rivera of CG1 Solutions. So welcome, Edwin. Thank you for joining us today.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a great pleasure. Edwin, you are calling from Miami, Florida. Is that right?
I am, yes.
So, Edwin, one of the questions I always like to start off with, because I find this fascinating, is how people got interested in this space, whether that's AR, VR, XR, whatever the combination of those things might be. So I'm always fascinated with what people's first experiences were, and then what was the sort of light bulb experience where you decided you really need to get into this space. So a little bit of your background, Edwin, and if you could touch on that, but give us a little bit about your background in life and in business and how you got to where you are today with CG1 Solutions.
Wow, what a great question. For me, it's been a journey, right? So I'll start with, I'm not an engineer. I'm not a developer. Mm-hmm. I was always kind of on the business side of things, and I was a problem solver, and that's how I got into augmented reality. I make it a habit to read as much as I can. I'm always on blogs and just trying to keep up with the latest and greatest. And actually, I'm not originally from tech. I came from the healthcare space, and I was so tired of that. I mean, it's still my first love, but I needed a change. And back in 2007, I got into tech because I just was full of great ideas, completely underestimated the technology space, and kind of learned the hard way, as they say, the school of hard knocks. But in 2009, I started to come across a lot more of postings about AR, and I was like, mm-hmm. "What is this?" And I kept reading up on it, and I finally came across a blog, it was a press release about a company based out of France that was going to set up shop here in the States, and we're looking for partners. The company's name is Total Immersion. I don't know if you remember them. So at the time, it was them and Matteo being pretty much the leaders in markerless technology. So everybody was using, QR code-like markers, whereas these two companies came onto the scene, and they weren't the first, but they were the first that were really pushing this. I reached out. Within a couple of weeks, we were probably number three named as our North American partner with Total Immersion. And my aha moment was when I saw one of their demos, which was, keep in mind, this is the iPhone was out, but the iPhone was not what we know as today, right? It was the processing power was not there. So everything we did at the time was browser based and had to be on a laptop or computer. So I had this computer and this laptop brought out a couple of comic books from France and Star Wars themed, and held it up to the webcam, and lo and behold, Luke Skywalker pops out on one of them. I was like, wow, that's really neat. You know, they had me there.
Right.
Then they brought out another one and Darth Vader pops up, and they got them close to each other and they started to duel. At that moment, I was hooked. I said, what in the world is this? All right, this is what I need to be in. And my mind started racing. I started to think about how this technology could be applied, albeit all very early and way ahead of its time, because again, processing power adoption, folks didn't know what to make of it. So it was early on, it was a challenge, but that was my moment when I said, this is what I want to be in. This is what I want to push, and quickly kind of made my mark as the AR guy here in South Florida.
That's great. When I remember those days well, and those early demos, and they were fascinating because you could see where they could go. And I also remember the limitations on the phone and that you had to dial. I mean, even 4 or 5 years ago, you had to download an app to get them to work, and there was all kinds of proprietary solutions. So you were there, let's just say at the beginning or very early in there. What has your journey been since then, where we now have Snapchat filters and people are seeing augmented reality, even though they might not call it augmented reality, but they're using it in their daily life. Are you continuing to do things in the healthcare space? Where is this taking you creatively and professionally now?
Sure. So I was chuckling as you were mentioning some things, because I remember early on, the biggest challenge for us was getting adoption. We would go in, we'd give demos, and it almost felt like a standing ovation reaction from brands, from agencies, but nothing came of it. It was like, wow, this is really cool, but we have no idea how to implement this, and we don't know what to do with it.
It's going to cost how much? Are you kidding me?
Exactly. And some folks even went as far as to say, listen, this will never work. Yeah. Because you guys don't, you know, you're not working with BlackBerry. So since it's not on the BlackBerry platform, it'll never work. It'll never gain traction. Famous words, right?
Yes.
Everything's about timing. And that's one of the things I've learned, especially in this industry. So, you know, fast forward today, you asked me in regards to healthcare and what we're doing. We've taken what we've learned over the last few years, and it's been some ups and downs. I sold my first startup in 2014 to a real estate development company that was interested in adopting AR. Again, really early, they didn't quite know how to implement it, but they kind of saw the potential, right?
Right.
You fast forward to 2020, 2021, you know, unfortunately, we had the COVID pandemic, which you know, changed a lot of things.
Sure.
And as bad as it was, and I'll never minimize that, I will tell you that for the industry, it was a moment that kind of changed everyone's perspective. Because now all of a sudden, you need to train people remotely. You need to connect people remotely. You need to show maybe a new technician how to do something that they've never done before because you're short-staffed. And we start getting contacted by hospitals saying, you know, we understand you're in the industry, and I'm kind of jumping forward, but I'll tell you, I'll answer what we're doing right now, which is healthcare enterprise. That's a space that we're we're thriving in, and really focused on. But I'll tell you, it's a journey to have gotten here now and be able to apply what we've learned, even from direct to consumer. You know, early on, the first 5 years, I was only dealing with consumers. You know, Pokemon Go like things. We, our company created a really nice app for Walmart for the first Avengers movie and had really high engagement. So we saw the potential there. But in terms of moving the needle on ROI and cost savings, there is nothing like AR, VR for the enterprise space. I will tell you that, you know, because as cool as it was to sit in a movie theater and watch a trailer, you know, trailer advertisement on the app that you built for the Avengers movie, as cool as that was and as cool as that is, it made me feel like, you know, today I'm talking about helping clinicians learn on the fly, you know, with new, with biomedical equipment, be trained, maybe someone who normally wasn't on a COVID floor now because of staff shortage, just having to learn a new machine and us being the vehicle to help train them. So that's what we're focusing on today. And I can get into that a little bit more details with a little bit more detail, but that's really the area that we see is the future.
What are some of the business challenges that you think XR, AR, VR, the challenges that it's really best suited for? And if you could fold that in a little bit to what you are doing now, some of the projects that you're currently working on.
Sure. So I'll start by saying that I'm a visual learner, right? I need to see the touch in order to retain that knowledge. As much as I always tried to learn a different way, the best way for me to learn was always hands-on. And with that being said, a vast majority of people out there are very, very similar into how they learn. Mm-hmm. They're visual. What AR and VR does is, you know, it opens up just a whole new world to be able for people to be able to quote unquote touch a product and interact with it as if it was there, right? We still have a long way to go, right? Because it's not like the technology can support identical feel of a product, right? But we're going to get there. We're going to get there. And right now, where we're at, with the tools that we have at our disposal, we can enable, take the case of a nurse who is, like I used that use case earlier, that example. You know, they've just been switched to, you know, to another floor, and they've got little to no experience with particular machines, and they need to get up to speed quickly. The hospital now has access to a training system that can help them get a hands-on even before their shift, because I can drop a 3D image of a ventilator on, you know, an iPhone at that nurse's home before their shift, and they can play with it, they can train with it, they can see the simple operations of turning it on, of preventive maintenance and things like that. So for us, those challenges we're meeting today, right now. We're actually in the process of getting ready to launch our first product in the XR training healthcare space. It's called Reality Hub. What Reality Hub will do is provide content, both powered in AR and VR, to hospitals, health systems, anyone in the healthcare industry that needs training or preventive maintenance on specific biomedical equipment. You think, again, going back to ventilators, anesthesiology machines, you know, MRI, anything, laboratory equipment that is complicated and that hospitals can't afford to go down, right, to have downtime on that. Think about how important it is for a lab to remain up and running, especially in today's environment. Well, it's just as important for all the ventilators to be up and running during the same time, right? So we believe that with what we're building, and it's a subscription-based business model, with what we're building, we're going to bring that content and make it readily available for health systems. Most hospitals, and this is something else that those of us in the industry need to keep in mind, right? Sometimes platform companies that have platforms to create this type of content think that, you know, the end user is going to automatically come in and just create an in-house content team to do that. Well, that's just not the case for hospitals. Hospitals have too many other important things to be concerned about than creating augmented reality content to train their clinicians. So we think it's an area that is poised to grow exponentially. And more importantly, we believe that we're going to be a key ingredient to helping clinicians get up to speed quickly and hopefully, you know, save lives in the same process. So right now we're in private beta. We're going to be announcing probably towards the end of the first quarter, maybe beginning of the second quarter. And by announcing, I mean, we're going to open up to bring on some additional health systems that want to beta. We are being very slow and deliberate, working closely with platform manufacturers because we want to be agnostic, right? I think that's key. There's so many different platforms out there. Think about it. Some things are accessed through a HoloLens. Some things are accessed through the iPhone. You know, Magic Leap is out there. We want to be as agnostic as possible because at the end of the day, the health systems, they have this need. And the need is we want to adopt this type of technology. We don't have the in-house team to maybe pursue this type of innovation. Part of the mission for Reality Hub is to bring all these solutions to health systems so they don't have to do the research. So again, private beta right now. We actually have a pilot in the VA. I'm under NDA. I can't mention which manufacturer we're working with, but it's a really large manufacturer. We are delivering the Reality Hub solution to one of the VA medical centers here stateside. And we've got a couple of other private sector health systems that are very interested. So when we announce, we're going to open up to, you know, several systems that have already expressed interest and then slowly process that. That what the hospital will get is their own white labeled version of Reality Hub and whatever content they need, they'll have access to. And both AR and VR, we're also working some great partnerships with some really innovative VR companies. Because if I've learned one thing over the last few years is that there's not a one-stop shop. It's going to take a village. And I think to have a good solution that keeps the customer's needs at the forefront, right? First, above all else, you need to be able to work with all best of class and make it as agnostic as possible. I've had the privilege of working with and consulting for several digital health startups while I've been building my company. And if you ever want to see a fragmented or siloed out industry, it's the healthcare system as it pertains to EHRs, right? And today, as a country, there's no way for me to take my medical records from one health system to the other. There's not like a seamless way. So I've got that experience of working in a siloed environment and building these bridges, right? So our plan is we're not claiming that it's going to be easy, but our plan is to bring as many of best of class AR platforms to the table through the common denominator, which is Reality Hub, and make the experience seamless for our clients, which are the health systems, right? So let's just say, you know, someone is using PTC and another person is, or another entity is using Scope AR. There should be no reason for them to have different tablets, just all kinds of different passwords. We want to make it single sign-on. And we are talking to a lot of the platforms. We're encouraging those who hear about us to reach out to us because we want to make this something that's viable for the health systems. And we know we're going to have to, as they say, play ball across the board. So we understand there's some platforms that may not be interested, but I think where the industry is headed, especially on the enterprise side, things are going to consolidate. There's going to be standardization, and we want to be leading that standardization with our efforts at Reality Hub.
Excellent. So this actually ties in perfectly to my next question. One is, how do people get in touch with you? How do they find you for this project specifically, but others who just want to connect and network someone in this space?
Sure. Well, I'm on LinkedIn. You know, I accept all invitations. I love to connect. LinkedIn is very powerful. So I'm on there all the time. So if anyone's interested in connecting with me, they can. If not, you can go to our website, CG1, and see Charlie Golf, the number one solutions, plural.com, CG1solutions.com. Fill out the info and I'll get an email. Team will get an email. We'll respond to you. Love to connect. Again, our culture is one of collaboration. So we're constantly trying to connect the dots. I think that's really at the end of the day, that's what's going to differentiate us and our solutions, right? Coming in and not being partial to any one platform or just one way of doing things. I'm also on Twitter. My handle is RealE_Rivera. But LinkedIn is the best way to get a hold of me.
Great. And that leads me to the next question. It sounds like you're going to have some good suggestions here. Is this industry is changing so quickly, new developments happening all the time. It's difficult to keep up on things. It's one of the reasons I started the podcast. So what are some of the sources of information that you like to turn to? That could be blogs or particular people that you find on LinkedIn, podcasts, video, YouTube channels, people that you like to follow that you would recommend?
Yeah. So people, it's pretty easy. Kathy Hackle, I had the opportunity to serve to be on a panel with her at a while ago before, you know, now she's the godmother of Metaverse, well-deserved. You know, she's been pushing technology and been really ahead of the game, especially with the NFT stuff. Kathy Hackle, Tom Emmerich is another one that I follow. Mm-hmm. In terms of newsletters, the AR Post newsletter, it's great. I highly recommend it. I get a lot, believe it or not, I get a lot of my information by going on the Twitter and typing in augmented reality with the hashtag and just seeing what's going on. Sure. It's a bit surreal because, I kind of chuckle. The other day I had an old client reach out to me and say, can you believe this? And I'll put it into context. He was referring to someone talking about a virtual try-on for watches. Well, at the time he was running the innovation division for a large duty-free company. And we had done an activation in Barbados where we were handing out these paper wristbands and then encouraging folks to walk over to the duty-free store. And we had a big screen set up and they could virtually try on the watch. We're talking 2010, we did this, right? And mm-hmm. so we're kind of laughing, and some of he's obviously now in senior leadership, and some of his young marketing folks came up to him and said, hey, listen, we've got this great idea. Look at this. We can do virtual try-on. So he chuckled. So I see a lot of that stuff, but I'll tell you, on Twitter, you type that in and you start to look at who's out there, what are they doing, you know, ideas, and sometimes really what not to do too, because there's a lot of gimmicks out there. There's a lot of gimmicks.
True.
Also, the VR AR Association, they now have a chapter here in Miami. I have the privilege of just being named to their advisory board. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. It, you know, great organization. They'll be having their Immerse Global Summit here in Miami in December. Great time to come to the city, December 5th to the 7th. So looking forward to that as well. Here in Miami, we're experiencing a boom in technology. Again, a side effect of the unfortunate COVID pandemic. We've had a lot of folks come in and kind of now make Miami their home, and a huge tech community influx. So there's a lot of meetups here in Miami. Emerge Americas is a really good event here in Miami that I'll be attending. And then obviously AWE, which is a staple, right?
Right. It's just amazing to have seen that it grew from 15 people in a university basement room to what it's doing now. It's amazing.
It's incredible. And I think these meetups now are also you're going to see a big kind of, I won't say recalibration, but a focus on Web3. Because AR and VR are such important components of that. And you have folks who are looking at the NFTs and crypto and blockchain and it all kind of comes together. So a lot of these meetups are now also discussing, the NFTs and all the Web3 angles.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Edwin. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the podcast. I look to meet you in person sometime. I'm going to try to go down to that Miami.
Can't wait. I can't wait.
Miami event.
Absolutely.
All right. Best of luck to
when
you.
When you're here, we'll have some Cuban coffee.
Oh, I love that idea. I love that idea. All right. Thank you, Edwin.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Liam. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to XR Connections. If you like this episode, please share it. You can find me on LinkedIn. It's Liam James O'Malley with Mars and Mercury. Please do reach out and connect. I apologize once again for any static and audio imperfections. We will be back in a more conducive environment for recording soon. Until the next episode, thank you again for listening.